United Kingdom, the evening news program with a Christian emphasis that many of you over the years have come to know and trust. This is Elizabeth Cuppett Caverly. My co-anchor, Lou Caverly, and I will be bringing you important warning news tonight. It is August 1st. It's hard to believe that the summer has passed so quickly. And on the surface, we've been talking about how beautiful our republic is. No, not our democracy, our republic. It is a grandiose mansion, and its beginnings, I guess, were about 400 years ago. Lou, I think I have to tell you that I saw this article that it said, Trump hails righteous cause of American self-government, and that was in the AP. President Donald Trump on Tuesday marked the 400th anniversary of American democracy. Shame on the AP that it didn't say a republic and its gift of the country we love. Trump said in remarks to Virginia's General Assembly that the United States has had many achievements in its history, but, quote, none exceeds the triumph that we are here to celebrate today. Self-government in Virginia did not just give us a state we love. In a very true sense, it gave us the country we love, the United States of America, he said. The General Assembly, considered the oldest continuously operating legislative body in North America, grew out of a gathering that convened in July 1619. And Lou, I think you heard that it had a house, the House of Burgesses, is that right?
Yes, I believe that was the name it went by at that time, 400 years ago, the House of Burgesses. Yes.
And now, again, we're looking at some good things that are happening on the surface in our country, and we know that many of these things are happening because God is still merciful on a sinful country, a country that has largely in its churches turned its back on his biblical principles. We know that God's judgment is coming, and we know that the mark of the beast is progressing, and we are nothing if not watchmen. We were called to do this work, we believe. In our deepest hearts, we believe that God Almighty asked us to do this. And at one time, he showed me the scripture, a cry out, till the last city is wasted. We hope and pray that this is not coming, but we still have all of this rotten construction festering underneath the grandiose building. But at this time, we can be very, very thankful for the Christian backing, the prayers that have resulted in this wonderful thing. And this, again, was the AP, Jessica Gresko, and this was July 28th. Supreme Court, Lou and I are going to tell you the good news now. Trump can use Pentagon funds for border wall. The Supreme Court cleared the way for the Trump administration to tap billions of dollars in Pentagon funds to build sections of a border wall with Mexico. The court's five conservative justices gave the administration the green light on Friday to begin work on four contracts it has awarded using Defense Department money. Funding for the projects had been frozen by lower courts while a lawsuit over the money proceeded. The court's four-court injunction allows Southern Border Wall to proceed. Big win for border security. I think that we have to insert Lou's part of this next. The court's four.
Yes, the case before the Supreme Court involved just the $2.5 billion in Defense Department funds, which the administration says will be used to construct more than 100 miles of fencing.
And I have to interrupt that to then say that the Supreme Court's action reverses the decision of a trial court, which initially froze the funds in May, and an appeals court, which kept that freeze in place earlier this month. The freeze had prevented the government from tapping approximately $2.5 billion in Defense Department money to replace existing sections of barrier in Arizona, California, and New Mexico with more robust fencing. The case the Supreme Court ruled in began after the 35-day partial government shutdown that started in December of last year. Trump ended the shutdown in February after Congress gave him approximately $1.4 billion in border wall funding, but the amount was far less than the $5.7 billion he was seeking, and Trump then declared a national emergency to take cash from other government accounts to use to construct sections of wall. The money Trump identified includes $3.6 billion from military construction funds. $2.5 billion in Defense Department money and $600 million from the Treasury Department's Asset Forfeiture Fund. And Lou, give us your statistics again there. And
yes, the case before the Supreme Court involved just the $2.5 billion in Defense Department funds, which the administration says will be used to construct more than 100 miles of fencing. One project would replace 46 miles of barrier in New Mexico for $789 million. Another would replace 63 miles in Arizona for $646 million. The other two projects in California and Arizona are smaller. The other funds were not at issue in the case. The Treasury Department funds have survived legal challenges so far, and Customs and Border Protection has earmarked the money for work in Texas' Rio Grande Valley, but has not yet awarded contracts. Transfer of the $3.6 billion in military construction funds is awaiting approval from the Defense Secretary. The lawsuit at the Supreme Court was brought by the American Civil Liberties Union on behalf of the Sierra Club and Southern Border Communities Coalition. The justices who lifted the freeze on the money did not give a lengthy explanation for their decision, but they said among the reasons they were doing so was that the government had made a, quote, sufficient showing at this stage, unquote, that those bringing the lawsuit don't have a right to challenge the decision to use the money. Alexei Lautronist, a spokesman for the Justice Department, said in a statement, "We are pleased that the Supreme Court recognized the lower courts should not have halted construction of walls on the southern border. We will continue to vigorously defend the administration's efforts to protect our nation," unquote.
And we know that a lot of citizens are applauding this, aren't they, Lou?
Oh, yes, yes, very much so.
The Johnstown Tribune Democrat, and it's big byline says, "Serving Greater Johnstown," of course that's Pennsylvania, "since 1853. In it, for July 31st, in the Reader's Forum, we had two letters to the editor. The first one said, take care of our own, not illegals. Immigrants in the 1800s came to the United States legally through Ellis Island. These immigrants came here for a better future, not bringing in drugs, terrorists, etc. Immigrants in the present need to come into the United States legally or go back to where they came from, not crossing our borders illegally. By the year 2025, the United States' white population will be outnumbered, per the Census Bureau. We also need one language, English. We need to take care of our own Americans over illegal migrants. The United States no longer can afford illegals forging into our country illegally. If they can't come in legally, then they need to go back to be deported. It's not a privilege or an anything goes for all, nor an entitlement. These new age immigrants are a threat to our country, forcing legal Americans to suffer, taxpayers paying for their health care, etc. We have no decent housing, health insurance, etc. Now for our own Americans and elderly living on poor wages and low incomes on Social Security. Our American-born veterans who served our country for 20 to 30 years are not being taken care of, and neither are our wounded warriors. It's time to take care of our own Americans, not illegals sneaking into the United States." That was by Bernard J. Murazuka, Johnstown. And there was another interesting article another reader wrote in the same paper, the Johnstown Tribune Democrat. The headline here was, "People flee blue states to live in red ones." In response to Chuck Colbert's Reader's Forum letter on July 9th, "I've read the Robert Mueller report along with other reports. It was not a bipartisan report. Question, when did Mueller discover no collusion? Why? Because they had time to look at tax rate returns, cab medallions, etc. But why not look at how the FISAs were issued, the Clinton Steele dossier? And I refer people to the excellent article by Byron York, Law Media Changing Standards. As per Colbert's reference to red-blue states' education, he is right, but so wrong. The blue states have the most costly per student in the country, and dropout rates and graduates who can't read or write are among the worst. Plus, the cost of living in red states is much lower. People who can, by comparison, are fleeing blue states in droves. As per Chip Minimeyer, the things that happened in 2016 were during the Obama administration. He famously said in June 2016 that there was no Russia interference in our elections, right? Now, my opinion, I believe people were tired of Barack Obama trying to be a world leader instead of our president and an economy and system that was not working for the average American. As per President Donald Trump's 10,000-plus lies, I only remember these. Iraq has weapons of mass destruction. Oh, Lou, that wasn't Donald Trump, was it?
Why, no, I don't believe that.
Why, that
was
in the Bush years.
Yes.
And then he says, and if you like your health care and doctor, you can keep them. Was that a Trump lie?
Oh, well, no, that was Mr. Obama, wasn't it?
And he said your cost would drop 25%. Also in that newspaper, the Johnstown Tribune Democrat, it had another headline that we were not happy to see, and this was, medical marijuana dispensary opens in Johnstown. And, of course, this is the medical marijuana starting there in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, the home of the Big Incline. You well know I don't like heights. So as a child, I didn't really want to go on the Johnstown Incline. You could put your car on it and go up way high. You and I always joke because I was getting homesick for West Virginia, where I got my master's degree as a reading specialist, and I took you back there, and we visited Cooper's Rock. You might describe what that looked like and where I was and where you were.
I thought it was a beautiful overlook off of the road. You could park the car and walk over and just look out to the valley down
below. And it was kind of like a little Grand Canyon, wasn't it?
It was, in a way, yeah. It's a beautiful, beautiful overlook, I guess you would call it. But when I turned around to invite Elizabeth over to see it, she was way back by the road.
Oh, no, I was sort of clutching this post.
Is that
way
what it
back,
was?
Yeah, but it wasn't anywhere near where you were.
No.
Of course it wasn't. But we now are getting serious. We talk about closing the borders, and it's so important, and we need to give thanks to God that he has allowed this Supreme Court decision. We really, really do. But within our country, there are other kinds of erosion that are weakening everything about our way of life, and marijuana is one of them. You have a very important article that I believe came from the Eastern Maryland newspaper. This is a very interesting, shocking, personal story here in the paper.
That's right, and this takes place only a few miles, maybe no more than 20 miles at most, from where Elizabeth and I live. And this was in the local paper, July 21st, 2019. The headline was, Police Mom Left Taught in Car. Cambridge, Maryland. A 30-year-old Cambridge woman is accused of leaving her 3-year-old child in a locked, parked vehicle early Thursday evening, July 18th. Catherine Ann Mowbray is charged with neglect of a minor and confining an unattended child, according to online court records. Following a Friday morning bail review, Mowbray was released on electronic GPS monitoring with home detention and ordered to stay away from the child and have no contact with any minor children. Mowbray is allowed to leave home for medical, legal, and work appointments, according to the order issued by Dorchester County District Court Judge Melvin J. Jews. The judge also ordered Mowbray to undergo alcohol and drug screening and participate in any programs required as a result of those screenings. Cambridge Police Captain Justin Todd said police officers and emergency medical crews were called to the Walmart parking lot about 6:15 p.m. Thursday for a report from a passerby of a child left unattended in the vehicle. When officers arrived, they found a small child, later found to be 3 years old, in a car seat in the back seat, Todd said. Officers could see the child was breathing and asleep, but was sweating profusely, Todd said. They gained access to the vehicle and removed the child, who woke up and was responsive and alert, with no apparent injuries. Emergency medical personnel took the child to the University of Maryland Shore Medical Center at Dorchester for examination as a precaution, Todd said. Mowbray returned to the car while police were on the scene and was placed under arrest. Police believe she had been inside the store for about 30 minutes. A crowd had gathered around the vehicle out of concern for the child. The air temperature in Cambridge was about 92 degrees at the time, and a heat advisory was in effect. The National Weather Service...
And I might interject there, because you were driving home in the car that you thought was fixed when we were stranded in Annapolis, and it was a similar temperature, but the heat index was about 110. So think of the child. It's not really... What was the real temperature?
Real temperature was about 92 outdoors.
So that would have really been about like 108 to 110, wouldn't it?
I would expect so. In fact, I think it gives us a little information here. In respect to what you were just saying, the National Weather Service had forecast extreme heat across the Midshore from Wednesday through Sunday, with heat index values expected to be near or above 100 degrees Thursday. Anyone who sees a small child who has been left unattended in a vehicle should call 911 immediately, Police Officer Todd said. He also said, quote, time is of the essence. Although private citizens may act in such situations, if it is believed someone's life is in danger, it is recommended to call 911 first to stop police and emergency medical response. State law does not allow private citizens to take action to enter a vehicle to rescue an animal. Todd also encouraged caregivers to take these two steps when driving with a small child in the vehicle. 1. Put your cell phone, purse, briefcase, wallet, or some other item that you need in the back seat with the child. Put a toy, diaper bag, or some item from the child in the front passenger seat. Taking these steps will help the driver remember a child is in the car. Child neglect is defined in state law as, quote, the intentional failure to provide necessary assistance and resources for the physical needs or mental health of a minor that creates a substantial risk of harm to the minor's physical health or a substantial risk of mental injury to the minor, unquote. Child neglect carries a maximum penalty of 5 years in prison and or a $5,000 fine. The state law regarding confining an unattended child says, quote, a person who is charged with the care of a child under the age of 8 years old may not allow the child to be locked or confined in a dwelling, building, enclosure, or motor vehicle while the person charged is absent.
Now, it's very serious to this point, isn't it? Listeners, you're hearing, but as a famous broadcaster used to say, the rest of the story, you're going to hear a little thunderbolt at the end.
That's exactly right. It goes on with another sentence or two about the legal technicalities. But here's the big final sentence that really ties it all together with what we've been saying. Todd, again, that was the police chief, said Mowbray, the lady who was charged, also was issued a civil citation for possession of marijuana.
Harmless gateway drug? We say, see something, say something. A child locked in blistering, deadly heat. Thank God there is still a Christian influence in the hearts of ordinary Mr. and Mrs. Americans so that the child's life could be saved by people caring and quickly calling 911. There's more on the marijuana. It's subtle, but it's coming everywhere. Lou, you have more, even into the churches for church approval.
Yes, I have a couple of items here. One is on marijuana, another one is closely connected. The first one, pastor founds, quote, Christian cannabis, unquote.
I think pick up the other one first.
You want to do the other one first?
Yes.
All right.
I think we want to finish with the church because it's so shocking. We think that the church would be the last to approve. What about the state that you have?
Okay. Well, this is the city of Denver. Denver votes to become the first city to decriminalize, quote, magic mushrooms, unquote. Denver is on a fast track to be the stupidest city in America. And that is saying a lot.
And is this from Friday Church News Notes?
It is, yes. This was the
what
one
date?
Dated May the 24th, 2019. It was the first, that is Denver, was the first city to vote to decriminalize marijuana possession in 2004. And now it is the first city to decriminalize the possession and use of psilocybin mushrooms, a potent hallucinogenic.
Hallucinogenic, right.
I knew that one a minute. I said that wrong. Yep. May 7th, voters approved the ballot measure by a slim margin. This is not legalization. and the mushrooms won't be on sale in Denver's marijuana shops. But it is probably a step toward legalization. 8 years after Denver voted to decriminalize marijuana, it was legalized statewide. As with the legalization of marijuana, promoters are claiming great medical benefits for psilocybin, though none have been scientifically proven. The acceptance of a drug for medical use breaks down barriers and prepares the way for its legalization and recreational use. Hi, and this is David Cloud speaking here. I know firsthand that psilocybin is a dangerous, mind-altering drug. I used it in 1972 when I was working as a psychiatric hospital in South Florida. We picked the mushrooms ourselves and boiled them to make a nasty-tasting brew. It was the most foolish and devastating thing I ever did to myself, more psychologically devastating than LSD. Of course, we had no idea of the exact potency of the brew. We were on a fool's errand, carried along by the indulgent libertarian philosophy of the rock and roll pop culture. The sorcery / witchcraft that is condemned in scripture is the Greek pharmakia, which is the use of drugs in magical arts. Psilocybin was used by the Aztecs in their demonic, idolatrous rituals, which should be warning enough for a Bible believer. From 1 Peter 5:8, we read, quote, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour."
And this is very good that David Cloud is giving his sort of his life testimony, because he was very heavily into the rock and roll world. And as we say with everybody we ever quote, nobody is flawless. Nobody has all the information. Only God is omniscient. And we were disappointed that David Cloud came out pro-vaccine. And then he came out again pro-vaccine, with the idea, which is true, there is a lot of better quality of life in modern times because polio is pretty much eradicated and things like smallpox. There was some good that came from vaccines. I believe that's true. Lou and I have talked. We probably have been victimized somewhat by things in the polio vaccine. I think I may have had a mild case of polio because of what I wrote in my diary when I was 16 years old, that I had never been so sick and I had a high fever. But right out the street was a little baby who got polio, and her whole face, half of her face was paralyzed, half of her body, and I don't think she ever married. I don't think her quality of life was very good. Would I really trade? Of course I wouldn't. But today, that doesn't excuse the autism rates. David Cloud should be apprised of this, that going from something like 1 in 30,000 20 or 30 years ago to maybe 1 in 15 in boys now, I think, something is very, very wrong, and it usually happens after the MMR shots. So, you know, we must warn, we must tell the truth, but I really do applaud David Cloud for telling the truth about his own life there. He didn't need to tell that he was involved in all of this, but is there a little more to that?
That's the whole of that article.
All right, and now let's move to this pastor in this church.
That's right. This is also from Friday Church News, and is excerpted from the Christian Post, an article entitled Pastor Craig Gross, from April 29th, 2019. Pastor Craig Gross is a fan of weed. He's not quite a heavyweight user like rapper Snoop Dogg or the legendary Willie Nelson, but he does confess to having developed a comfortable relationship with the psychoactive drug he testifies has taken him to higher levels of worship. Quote, "I went to Coachella and saw one of my favorite artists that I've ever seen, and I used marijuana before seeing him. It was amazing," Gross tells the Christian Post. And goes on to say, "I've never lifted my hands in a worship service ever, because I was raised Baptist. I've done that in my bathroom, worshiping with marijuana by myself," unquote. Often recognized as the founder of the, I guess that's 30th Church, it's XXX Church in Pasadena, California, a ministry that empowers individuals to break free from their pornography addictions, Gross has embarked on a new controversial mission, to sell and promote marijuana for Christians through a new venture called Christian Cannabis. As public perception continues to shift on the demonized plant, he celebrates as a gift from God that was created on day three, that's in quotes, created on day three, Gross wants to bring Christian weed users out of the shadows and challenge churches to have frank conversations about marijuana. A recent poll by the Pew Research Center found that 62% of Americans, including 74% of millennials, support legalizing marijuana. 10 states and Washington, D.C. have legalized it for recreational use for adults older than 21, while 33 states have legalized medical marijuana. Michigan is the latest state to legalize it for recreational purposes, while Utah and Missouri voted to legalize medical marijuana in last year's midterm elections.
Now, we have to interrupt. Isn't this the reprobate mind taking over? I mean, just common sense tells you that these people, stoned out on this gateway drug, are going to be a danger, a menace on the highways. But all we talk about is texting. We can't have people texting on cell phones. But we have lost all sanity and reason, haven't we? And,
yes.
You know, in your good, deep bass voice, when you come on this radio and when you pray for President Trump, I wonder if that man, after he is taking all of this stuff and he's going to raise his arms and he's going to be doing holy laughter, he probably has this high-pitched, squeaky, like, you know, follow me, I'm God with a little G.
I wouldn't be surprised. He goes on to say, Gross describes himself as among the untold number of Christians who first turned to marijuana for medicinal relief. It's in the wake of this shifting and complex culture and political landscape that Gross believes churches should start having deeper conversations on marijuana, and he hopes Christian cannabis can help drive them. That was from the Christian Post, April 29th, 2019.
Yes. And we said we have to be watchmen on this program to warn you. Because in the background, we have a lot of breaking news of the New World Order's coming control of the population. First of all, in that same Johnstown Tribune Democrat edition for July 31st, I was interested in another headline. It said, Westmont cell tower to move forward. Senior judge dismisses group's land use appeal. That interested me because I had an uncle, Ellis Baker, who bravely flew over the hump in World War II, a very dangerous mission, and I thought he was just the coolest guy. He wore aviator glasses, and he came with his newly engaged fiance and to our home, and I really just thought he was the neatest guy. So in later years, he had a store, and he lived in Westmont. And, of course, we knew that was pretty much upper class. So, again, we see the erosion of the areas. It's not just going to be in Los Angeles with the tent cities. It's everybody trying to keep what we once valued and had, and we will not keep it if we are not separated from Satan's influence and Satan's dictums. We will not keep it if we don't believe in the Bible. I truly believe that if we are not under God's care and we are free of things like spirit guides and the New Age and all other gods, God is a jealous God, isn't he, Lou?
Oh, yes, he is.
And so in this article, there was a judge, Judge Creaney, and he had ruled against these citizens who were complaining because this group did not want this tower. It's right next to the Westmont Hilltop High School, and there were two public hearings on it, and this thing will be 190 feet high, this tower. It's in a residential zone. And, of course, the upshot of this was that this judge ruled that certainly, the property is subject to an unnecessary hardship. The lack of cellular communications that prohibits the safe and efficient operation of a junior-senior high school impedes the development of safety protocol and endangers the well-being of students, faculty, and staff. Lou, you said to me, well, what did they do for safety before there were any cell phones?
Yes, that's exactly right. Well, gosh, we had walkie-talkies. I guess that's considered too old-fashioned. And what's ironic is many, many teachers will tell you that cell phones are an awful pain in the neck. Kids get on there and try and text in the middle of class. They'll hide up back and be texting when they're supposed to be doing their lessons or listening to the teacher. And I can't, for the life of me, think of one situation where you really have to have a cell phone.
And so when he says it's prohibiting, the lack of them prohibits the efficient operation, you're telling us right there the drawbacks to having all this texting going on. And so Westmont Hilltop, the article says, is the only school district in Cambria County lacking cell service. You see, this was a holdout. This is the last stand. And will we be like Europe? We talked about a DVD that was available last year, Europe's Last Stand Against Islam. Are we going to be able to keep our health? We have to watch that situation with 5G. We really have to watch things. We don't want our children in rooms with Wi-Fi. We read an article on air that talked, if it was from News with Views, and the author talked about some children who had greatly fibrillating heart problems who when they were in Wi-Fi at their school, and several children who died. We can't find that article now. I wonder why, Lou. I wonder why. Because we have everything moving on, and we also have the tyranny coming. This same area has another paper up there in western Pennsylvania, the Bedford Gazette. And I believe that it was, I'm trying to see whether it tells how long it has been there. It's amazing. If we find it, maybe it goes back to something like 1824, something like that.
I think it may go back earlier than that.
Do you remember what it was?
No, I don't, but we'll have to check on that.
Well, my grandfather wrote articles for it. That
yes.
was John
yep.
A. Cuppett. He was a small-town farmer, banker, choir director, just about anything you named, he did. So at any rate, in the Bedford Gazette, it had Get Real ID Real Soon. Pardon me. I think you need to note this information. We were rather shocked because Lou got a notice. He's going to have to participate in this if he wants the driver's license. And, you know, if some of you are older and you are listening, I personally think you probably are safer to get that driver's license than to be categorized in some other kind of a category. Because in my mind, I think it would be very easy to get the euthanasia list. The ones who are, oh, they're too feeble to have a driver's license. Oh, we'll get them first. Do you see what I'm saying? This is going to be a time when you really are going to have to use your wits as things progress, because this is only a reprieve with God using Trump like Cyrus. It's a reprieve because we don't see real repentance in the churches. We don't really see them out standing against Planned Parenthood. We see some movement toward ending abortion. Yes, we do, from the people. But the churches, that's where God said his judgment will come first. So here, you need these facts. This is what the column says. You have until October 2020 to complete this mission. But we all know how easy it is to put things off. So don't say we didn't warn you. It's called Real ID. The Real ID Act is a federal law that affects how states issue driver's licenses and ID cards if they are going to be acceptable for federal purposes, such as boarding a domestic commercial flight or entering a military installation or federal facility that requires ID. In Pennsylvania, Real ID is optional. That's for now, you see. And here in Maryland, it isn't. So they go on to say, so you will not need one. Now listen carefully. What the facilities are that are going to be affected, where you're going to need this. You will not need one, that is in Pennsylvania yet, to drive, vote, access hospitals, visit the post office. That one shook you, didn't it?
It sure did, yeah.
Access federal courts. Now listen carefully to this one. Apply for or receive federal benefits. Now I thought about Social Security. And Lou, you said, yep, maybe you wouldn't be able to apply for it. But it sounds as though they could take away the ones you're getting. Apply for or receive federal benefits.
Yes, I think you're right.
Of course, that could change, the article says. Remember the stink over a photo ID for voting? We could always be coming back for a second round on that debacle. And we can't guarantee what other states will do. And yes, you will have to pay for the privilege of a real ID. You will pay a 30 a dollar fee plus a renewal fee. According to the state, the expiration date of your first real ID license or ID card will include any time remaining on your current license or ID card plus an additional 4 years. For example, if your license is set to expire in October 2020, but you upgrade to a Real ID in October 2019, your new Real ID compliant license or ID card will not expire until October 2024. So there are more things about it, but I think that it's important that you know to get this thing, you have to have a proof of identity, proof of Social Security number, two proofs of current physical address, a proof of all legal name changes. My goodness, Lou, we are really being stringent against U.S. citizens while we let these undocumented, unnamed men come in carrying children who aren't even their own children at the border?
That's right, and I might just comment on that. I, to get my license renewed, will have to have all these documents, but some states are giving licenses to illegal aliens. They don't have any proof of their identity, I would assume. They could just say, well, my name is John Smith. I came from so-and-so town in Mexico. Yeah, it's discriminatory toward ordinary Americans.
Certainly it is. Then we had another headline, Sunday, June 30th, in, again, the Eastern Maryland, the Sunday Star. Digital license plates go for a test drive. Maryland, one of four states to test or legalize new technology. The Maryland Department of Transportation Motor Vehicle Administration launched a two-year pilot program Tuesday, June 18th, to test new digital license plate technology. The new plates, which are similar in size to conventional metal plates, are being tested on 20 MVA fleet vehicles and two Maryland Transportation Authority vehicles. With a Kindle-like electronic display that can be updated remotely. Ding, ding, ding. Did you hear that? Remotely, the new digital design has the potential to eliminate a lot of the legwork that goes into car registration in Maryland. You know, just like you said, Lou, the walkie-talkies are out of date. We need the cell phone towers bombarding the people for the Cloward-Piven breakdown of the middle class. We may need a sick population so that we can do what Nick Rockefeller allegedly told Aaron Rousseau, the filmmaker, before his death, that the goal ultimately was to get a brain chip into every person on the planet. So I just wonder whether it's so smart to be eliminating the legwork. It says tasks like manually updating registration stickers and waiting in long lines at the local MVA will be distant memories for those who opt to purchase and use the place. Everything is so easy, like the Easy Pass. Remember when it came in at the big Chesapeake Bay Bridge, the William Preston Lane Bridge?
That's right.
You can hardly find a lane now when you're bringing us home from places across the bridge, across the bay. You can hardly find a lane where it's cash anymore. You always think,
yes.
Is that cash? No, practically all Easy Pass.
It used to be when it first became the Easy Pass, when they first initiated that, that you had to look to find the Easy Pass lanes. Now you got to look to find the cash lanes at the toll booths. If you get in the wrong lane, you can't pay anything. There's nobody there. So you have to go through, and they'll mail you a bill, and if you don't pay it, they'll buy a license.
And you know, we're going to hardly talk about those Democrats and their debates because it's so Orwellian. The local cartoonist in the Eastern Maryland Star Democrat, Rick Collinger, so talented. He has a little section there of his cartoon for, I guess this was Wednesday, July 31st, yesterday, and he has four pictures. The first picture is President Trump saying Baltimore is a rat-infested dump. Now, remember how he has been castigated. He has been castigated by our Maryland governor, by everybody else practically, for saying something that somebody else said something to. My goodness, in picture two, Bernie. Bernie Sanders says, this is like a third world country. Then, picture three, we have Mayor Rawlings Blake. And that's the Baltimore mayor saying, this smells like dead rats. Then in picture four, we have a television. I guess it's kind of like, no, I believe that it's a newsstand. It's a newspaper. And it says Daily Fish Wrapper. That's probably the New York Times, I think, according to Gerald Celente. And it says Trump is racist. So you see, black is white, white is black. Trump's telling a lot of truth. We've got to warn you now. We know that some of the things that are being done are coming out of the eugenics labs. Perhaps the Lyme disease came out of Lyme, Connecticut, Cold Springs Harbor across the way. Maybe it was bioengineered. There's a lot of thinking for that. And so now Lou just said he had heard that Pennsylvania is now the top state for Lyme disease in the country. Now, I wonder why. Pennsylvania was a big supporter of Trump. Pennsylvania has always loved its hunting and its guns. Pennsylvania would be one of the states we would want to get rid of all the food that patriots could eat if they had to be out shooting food. We would want to make those patriots sick. So now, I think this is so important. Lou, you have always doubted the key story put out about mad cow and wasting disease. Back in 2002, when I was writing Patriots Warning 1, America Attacked, and Patriots Warning 2, Chaos and Chemtrails, we researched it. And, you know, we thought that it was kind of caused by something like prions.
Yes, a kind of mysterious protein. I always thought proteins are basic building blocks of all human beings. How did they go hog wild and suddenly cause this strange disease? It just didn't add up to me.
And, you know, we were told that even surgeons, they could never clean their instruments if they would go from one patient to another, so we would all be hopelessly contaminated with this.
Yes, that's right. Well, here we have an article that appeared on March the 14th, 2019, the Morrison's Cove Herald, which is a small newspaper.
And first, there's another article you have too, isn't it? There's another one on the wasting disease. Oh, I have it. Let me present it first, because
yes,
I think this is more of the thinking that perhaps is indoctrination. This is WorldNet Daily. No joke. Zombie deer disease threat to humans. This was February 22nd, 2019, and we'll get part of this. And it said no author at WorldNet Daily. Sounds like a plot out of The Walking Dead. Deer contract a mysterious disease. Symptoms include vacant stares, thick saliva, exposed ribs, drooping heads, but no behavior outside the normal range of deer activity. They can live 2 years like that. Then one day, they snap, becoming overly aggressive. Thus, the zombie caricature before dying. And I want to interrupt to say that we thank WWCR for broadcasting us on shortwave around the world. We are so thankful to them, and we thank Liberty Works Radio Network, LWRN.net. We've many times given you the time schedule. Tonight, this information is too important. We can't do that. And we are now on KSTARTalkRadio.com. Go hear us there. And our new website, Lou, is
DividedKingdomRadio.com.
Go there. So if you would like to help us stay on the air, you can send a little cash or a money order to WWCR, check to WWCR, and send it to Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. Again, that's Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. So now we're talking about the WorldNet Daily article about these deer. They kind of hang on, and actually the cows were the same. They called them downer cows. We remember that. But now back to the article. The big worry is that people have eaten the meat of infected deer, raising fears the plague could cross over species. Okay, now I must skip on a little bit in this article. A Canadian study has added to concern that consumption of infected deer could spread the disease to other species, including people. A prominent researcher, and that was a prion researcher, they said, Stephanie Zub of the Canadian Food Inspection Agency, found 3 out of 5 monkeys, fed infected meat tested positive for chronic wasting disease. In the research, 18 macaque monkeys were exposed to this in a variety of ways: injection of the material into the brain, through contact with the skin, and by feeding them infected meat. According to Michael Miller, senior wildlife veterinarian for Colorado Parks and Wildlife, mule deer infection more than tripled toward the end of 2017, and chronic wasting disease, CWD, continues to be prevalent in Colorado. What we've seen over the last few decades is that it's slowly spreading in wild deer populations, said Peter Larson, an assistant professor in veterinary sciences at the University of Minnesota. It's also spreading among captive deer, elk, and reindeer, which are transported around the country and overseas to hunting ranches, petting zoos, and Christmas-themed farms. That's how the disease ended up in South Korea, Larson explained. On March 13, 2005, a fire company in Oneida County, New York, fed the meat of a deer that tested positive for chronic wasting disease to 200 to 250 people. The company didn't know the meat was from a diseased deer. Lab tests for one of the deer served came back later positive for chronic wasting disease. Over time, the Oneida County Health Department monitored the group's health through a surveillance project. About 80 people who ate the venison agreed to participate. Together with the State University of New York, Binghamton, health experts checked in with the group over the course of 6 years to see whether they developed any unusual symptoms. In a study published in the peer-reviewed medical journal Public Health, researchers found the group had, quote, no significant changes in health conditions. Now, we would have to say, first of all, how valid is a study, Lou, that has 80 people going 6 years? You're statistically minded. You teach statistics.
80 is quite small. Usually a study, you try to have at least several hundred in order for it to be pretty reliable. And even then, you know, the best you can do is say this is a probability of so-and-so happening once you have the data.
And isn't it better usually in scientific studies, research studies, to have thousands of people?
Oh, yes. The more, the better.
Now, how about this course of 6 years? I have to interject there that to me doesn't seem valid at all, because when we did our research for my books, the Jakob Creutzfeldt disease is what it's called in humans when this brain, kind of brain, whatever it is, atrophy or whatever, happens to the people. And it was usually after many, 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 many years. So, you know, this thing might not show up for 30 years.
That's exactly now, right.
Now, we're going to get to the Morrison's Cove Herald. When we've been talking about newspapers, this is an amazing newspaper up there in Morrison's Cove where my mother was born and grew up. Beautiful farm country. It looks like Germany, really, areas of Germany. And that's where my Hessian ancestor deserted during the Revolutionary War. He became probably a farmer there, I would think, had a farm. And so at any rate, this newspaper goes back many, many, many years, and it's still refreshingly old times. It has actual sermons in it by local pastors. It has little news. You know, it's a little tedious, a little boring. But we found that God showed us this article, because who's more concerned with what's going on than the people who live in Pennsylvania? They want the truth. So now this is some new research that you're not going to hear with all these stories about the prions.
Yes, it's entitled Area Hunters Learn a Vaccine for CWD is Being Developed. This is by Rick Boston, staff writer. Could there be a cure for chronic wasting disease, CWD? Wildlife and CWD biologist John Eveland believes so.
And we interject again. This is not a vaccine advocacy item we're giving you. We don't know who's doing this vaccine, whether it would be under good aegis or whether the New World Order would be back of it, too. But the main key is there's a shocking development. It's not prions,
yes,
according to them. Go ahead, Lou.
And the scientist, Dr. John Eveland, said that he believes they will be able to make a vaccine, but it's still at least 5 years away. Eveland spoke to a large group of area hunters who packed the Freedom Township Fire Hall on Saturday morning, March 9th, as they continue to seek a solution to the disease that is decimating the state's deer population. Speaking at the invitation of the United Sportsmen of Pennsylvania, Eveland said that he is working with Dr. Frank Bastian, a researcher at Louisiana State University, on developing a vaccine that could eliminate CWD, but that it is costly. Eveland said, quote, a cure is being worked on. It's still about 5 years away, and could cost anywhere from thousands up to $1 million, unquote. The United Sportsmen of Pennsylvania is helping solicit donations to help fund Dr. Bastian's research. Eveland, who previously developed a vaccine for a brain worm that was killing the state's elk herd, said Dr. Bastian has identified the bacteria that causes CWD. He said that Bastian has discovered that the research into the accepted cause of CWD, a malformed protein known as the prion theory, is the wrong path to go down. Quote, Dr. Bastian has identified a bacteria that causes the disease. It is not caused by a malformed protein, as is widely believed. Unquote. Evelyn said Bastian has discovered that the transmissible agent of CWD is a tiny bacterium called a spiroplasma, and that the prion is a byproduct of the bacterial infection. Evelyn said the hope is to roll out the vaccine, once developed, in three stages. And it goes on to describe the scientific technicalities. He said that when the vaccine is ready for testing, it will be field-tested in Pennsylvania before it is made available to the rest of the country. Coming up with a cure instead of just managing the disease is something that area hunters and the Pennsylvania Game Commission have been at odds on. In early January, the Game Commission announced plans to have commission-trained sharpshooters bait and kill up to 2,500 deer in the Blair and Bedford County region. Hunter reaction against that plan was swift, and with the assistance of Pennsylvania State Representative Jim Gregory, got the Game Commission to put the deer culling on hold. Rodney Swope, the local group Sportsmen for the Future, said hundreds of Game Commission officials need to try to find common ground and work together to combat chronic wasting disease. He said, quote, if we are going to get anywhere at all, we must work with the Game Commission, unquote. He said he hopes the commission puts more resources into helping find a cure rather than attempting only to contain the disease.
This is such important information. Was that it, Lou, for that?
There's a little bit more.
Go ahead.
Just glancing at the highlights. Culling the disease, not just controlling it, has gotten the attention of local congressmen. Congressman John Joyce, Republican of the 13th District, and Congressman Glenn Thompson of the 15th District, told the hunters that they plan to introduce legislation next week that will authorize up to $15 million starting in 2020 to help develop a vaccine for chronic wasting disease.
Okay, we'll see what comes of all this.
Yes.
But we also have WorldNet Daily here for June 10th, 2019. Fear of Ebola adds to U.S. border emergency. Border Patrol agents are accustomed to dealing with illegal aliens trying to enter the U.S. and to handling drug dealers, or at least those who haul contraband into the U.S. There even are occasional shootings at the agency's facilities, but there's probably nothing to trigger a surge in adrenaline for one of those federal workers as realizing that the person you just encountered may be infected with tuberculosis or measles or chickenpox or Ebola. It's an issue that needs a lot more attention than it is getting. According to an expert, the executive director of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, Dr. Jane Orient, she told WorldNet Daily Monday that things that immigration officers need to know about those coming into the country are whether they have communicable diseases, where they've been and who they've encountered, and where they're going and who will they encounter, and if they're getting or should be getting or had medical treatment for various exposures. All of these things we really don't know, she said, deliberately. Did you catch that word, Lou? Deliberately.
Yes.
The fact that newcomers, you know, she doesn't sound like a dupe, does she?
No, she doesn't.
No. The fact that newcomers are bringing communicable diseases into the U.S. isn't new, but there have been some recent reports that are cause for alarm. Catalin McBreen reported at InfoWars that hundreds of newcomers today have come from an area in the Congo in Africa to San Antonio, and hundreds more are en route. The issue? That area of the Congo is currently experiencing a massive Ebola virus outbreak, and the report said the World Health Organization confirmed 1 in 4 Ebola infections in Congo are going undetected. Then there was the MS-13 gang member who was presenting himself at the border as part of a family. With him was a child about 18 months old with chickenpox. Orient was concerned. The problem is bringing in people who may have a disease you don't know about. You don't know where they've been or where they're going. who they've been in contact with, she said. Sometimes people are contagious with a communicable disease without showing symptoms and can transmit a virus. That, she warned, can be fatal. She cited the Ebola cases found in the United States only a few years ago. Then, one patient just showed up at a Dallas hospital. Regarding that threat, she said, there likely are only a handful of hospital beds equipped to handle Ebola. Then there is latent TB, she noted, that many immigrants may have. A cough on the bus, and you've infected a busload, she warned. Border Patrol agent caring for a 1.5-year-old child with chickenpox who was part of a fraudulent family unit. This is a Twitter. The mate who the child was with is not related to the child and has ties to MS-13 gang. Our agents continue to do their best during this crisis. And let's see if there's a little bit more to this. At the time, Reuters reported thousands of such patients were on lockdown because of their illnesses or exposure to illnesses. At that time, mumps also was confirmed. 186 cases in Texas facilities alone at the time. In a Colorado facility, it was worse, 357 cases in just weeks. Elizabeth Lee Vliet, I believe that is, MD, also of the AAPS, warned several years ago that viruses and infections already had been making their presence known in other countries where there had been huge numbers of migrants. U.S. and German citizens are put at significant risk by the politically correct acceptance of unscreened immigrants from countries with a high prevalence of infectious diseases, many difficult or impossible to treat. Yet authorities in both countries have failed to fully inform the public of the dangers, she wrote at the time. She added, TB is one of the most serious threats. Latent TB can remain dormant for years, even decades. It is alarming that 18% of refugees in Arizona arrive with latent TB. Did you hear that? 18%. While in the general Arizona population, the incidence was only 4%. Multi-drug-resistant TB, common in migrants, may cost more than $400,000 per patient, compared with $20,000 for the drug-responsive TB that has been predominant in U.S.-born patients. Treatment of MDR-TB has serious side effects with no guarantee of success, she said. So praise God, we're going to get more of the border wall built. But we have much more to tell you next week about the crumbling structure that's underneath the grandiose facade of our beautiful American Republic. Pray for this program. Pray for our country. Pray for President Trump. Thank you for listening. Good night.